In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. And by thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, the 10th Sunday after Trinity, is found recorded in the first epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 1 through 10, or rather verses 1 through 11, and reads as follows. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another the word of faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Let us now sing hymn 225. Thank you. The gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 19, verses 41 through 48, and reads as follows. And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple, and began to cast out them that sold therein, and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him, and could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, and reads as follows. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, we know from the scriptures that an open sinner is to be rebuked with the law of God, and if he refuses to repent, he is to be shunned, so that he may become ashamed of his sinful conduct, and then be brought to true repentance through faith in the Word of God. In his first letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul writes, Now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. And in his second epistle, or letter to the Thessalonians, this same apostle wrote by inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. This, however, does not mean that we are to shun those who have lived in sin in the past, but have now repented of their sinful life, are truly sorry, truly penitent, and seek forgiveness through God's grace. Such penitent sinners are not to be shunned or despised, but are to be received by us with loving hearts, and we are to extend to them forgiveness. The same forgiveness that we enjoy through faith in Christ Jesus, the same forgiveness that every sinful human being needs in order to be saved from eternal destruction in hell. Let this then be the focus of our meditation today, as we consider on the basis of our text how salvation comes to a penitent sinner through Christ. In the first place, we shall observe how a tax collector named Zacchaeus desired to see Jesus. And secondly, that it was Jesus who actually sought out Zacchaeus. And thirdly, that Zacchaeus was brought to saving faith in Christ and showed this by his fruits. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. As Jesus was passing through the city of Jericho, a crowd gathered around him. And that was actually quite a common occurrence because he had gained a reputation of being a knowledgeable teacher of religion and a mighty worker of miracles. In this city, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was eager to see Jesus. Our text informs us that Zacchaeus was a publican or tax collector. He's actually described as being the chief among the publicans, and he's described as being very wealthy. We read, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." At least some of his wealth was due to sins he had committed against the seventh commandment, taking from others what did not rightly belong to him, as he later confesses to Jesus in our text. But he also may have been extra rich on account of the fact that not only was he a tax collector, but he's identified here in our text as being the chief or head of the tax collectors. Now, it is important to remember what it really meant that a person was a publican. Again, publicans were tax collectors, but beyond that, they were generally disliked by the people. For obvious reasons, nobody likes paying taxes. But additionally, they were Jews who worked for the Romans, and the Romans were considered the enemies. Additionally, they were well known to be thieves, typically charging the people even more than they were supposed to, and then keeping the rest of the money for themselves. Another way that we can see from the scriptures that publicans were generally despised is how Jesus tells us to deal with those former brethren who, when they are admonished because of their sins, refuse to repent. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 17, Jesus says to regard such a person as being a heathen man, which means an unbeliever, and a publican. In other words, he's to be treated as one whose chosen way of life is just disgusting, one who you wouldn't want to even associate with. According to Zacchaeus' own admission later in our text, he had been guilty of stealing money from other people when he collected their taxes. So then why was this publican anxious to see Jesus? If he knew anything about Jesus, he knew that Jesus did not excuse sins or okay sinful behavior. No, he pronounced God's judgment and condemnation upon those who flagrantly broke God's commandments. But Zacchaeus likely had also heard how Jesus offered the forgiveness of sins to the penitent, those who were truly sorry for their sins and looked to Jesus for grace. And Zacchaeus certainly knew, fully understood, that he needed forgiveness. However much he did or did not know about Jesus at the start of our text is uncertain, but he was still very anxious to see him. He was curious about Jesus. But he was having a difficult time even seeing Jesus on account of the crowd of people who were around Jesus and because Zacchaeus was a short man. Our text says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, that is the crowd, because he was little of stature, short. But his desire to see Jesus was so strong that Zacchaeus ran ahead of the crowd, climbed up into a tree, and waited there for Jesus to pass by. Our text tells us, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. So we can see in the conduct of Zacchaeus just how anxious he was to see Jesus, resorting to behavior that would have seemed out of character for this wealthy, distinguished chief among the publicans. But whether or not he even considered how odd his behavior might appear to others, he really didn't care. He wasn't going to let any consideration like that stop him from seeing the Lord Jesus. Interestingly enough, it was Jesus who actually sought out Zacchaeus. We read in our text, and when Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was up in the tree, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Since Jesus is the all-knowing Son of God, he was fully aware of the fact that there was a man up in the tree who desired to see him. He knew his name, and he called him by name. He knew that Zacchaeus would love to have him come and stay at his house, so Jesus invited himself to be a guest of Zacchaeus. The joy and excitement that Zacchaeus felt at hearing the words of Jesus is evident from the next verse of our text, where we read, "And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Again, it cannot be known for certain how much Zacchaeus actually knew about Jesus at that point. But Jesus had already just demonstrated to Zacchaeus that he is gracious. He showed that he knew who Zacchaeus was. And yet, the fact that he was a publican did not dissuade Jesus from coming into his house. In appreciation of such grace, Zacchaeus was quite joyful in receiving the Lord Jesus. But when Christ showed such kindness to this publican, the people who were crowded around him murmured and criticized his decision to be a guest of that man that they regarded to be a terrible sinner. Our text says, "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner." Now, that may have been the reaction of the people because they did not know that Zacchaeus was truly penitent at this point. His sins were publicly known, but his repentance may not have been known. It actually might have been the reaction of the people, at least some of the people, even if they knew that he had repented. The Pharisees typically looked down on people like publicans and thought that they were completely unworthy, no matter how much they might repent. And as unchristian as that kind of attitude is, that same kind of attitude resides in the sinful flesh of us all. So we all need to beware of it and fight against it. Yes, even Christians may be tempted to think of themselves as being good people and thinking of others as bad people. The sins of others stand out very plainly, but one's own sins are often completely ignored. So we all need to humble ourselves in the light of God's holy law and become more like the Apostle Paul, who wrote in his first letter to Timothy, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Like St. Paul, each one of us should regard himself to be the chief of sinners, the worst sinner. That should be the case because our sins should be more clear to us if we're using the law of God correctly than the sins of others. We should be able to see, on the basis of God's law, how sinful we have been, even when we have kept our outward behavior in check, even when we've kept our hands and our mouth under control. Our heart and mind still lead us into much wickedness, including envy, hatred, bitterness, lusts, evil desires, covetousness, love of money, and so on. And sadly, no matter how hard we fight against sin, our miserable flesh, our old Adam, still continues to produce all kinds of sinful thoughts and desires. And that will be the case as long as we live here on earth. As St. Paul writes to the Galatians, "The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Yes, rightly applying the law of God to ourselves should cause us to see our own sins much more clearly than we see our neighbor's sins. We should be fully aware how we have abused God's grace countless times during our lives. We should realize how, by our own sins, we deserve to be punished under God's wrath and everlasting hellfire. And such facts should keep us very humble. For instead of being worthy of anything good from God, we all need to beg Him for mercy, trusting in the grace and mercy that He conveys to us through Christ Jesus as the only way that we can be saved. Now, if we do have that proper Christian attitude of humility, that will prevent us from lifting ourselves up above others, despising others as being unworthy sinners. We should never regard the Christian church as an elite club that we belong to and others just aren't worthy to belong to. What comes next in the following verses of our text took place later that same day after Jesus had already been brought into the home of Zacchaeus. Though we do not know how much Zacchaeus knew about Jesus before that day, now he was able to receive private instruction from the Savior's own mouth. He could hear the gospel from the Lord Jesus himself. And through the glorious, miraculous working of the Holy Ghost, he accepted the gospel's message of forgiveness in faith. And as is always the case, where there is true faith in the heart, good works are produced as its necessary fruit. Zacchaeus showed that he was a true believer in Christ Jesus by stating his intention to correct the damage that he had done in the past, how he had hurt others, how he had sinned against the seventh commandment. We read in our text, "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." By giving half of his money to the poor, Zacchaeus showed that he no longer had his heart fixed on simply amassing large sums of money and worldly riches. On the contrary, he wanted his money to be spent helping others. Furthermore, he states his willingness to give back four times the amount of money that he had unjustly taken from other people. That was going even beyond what would normally be considered fruits meet for repentance. Fruits meet for repentance are the fruits, the works that one does to show that he's sorry for his sins. So if someone steals, the fruits meet for repentance would be to return the stolen goods. Zacchaeus was going to return four times the amount that he had taken. The fact that Zacchaeus' words were not just words, but were the genuine expression of his heart and true faith can be seen in how Jesus, who perfectly knew the hearts of all men, responded to him. We read in our text, "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." That salvation had come to Zacchaeus' house means that he had been brought to true faith in the gospel. Since Zacchaeus was a Jew, he had always been a physical descendant of Abraham. But now through faith in the Savior, Zacchaeus was, much more importantly, a spiritual descendant of Abraham through faith. He was a true believer. He was an heir of heaven. In the last verse of our text, Jesus reminds us of the reason why he came into the world, to seek out and to save sinners like Zacchaeus. Sinners like you and me, who without him would be spiritually and eternally lost. We read in our text, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why Jesus did not turn away from Zacchaeus in disgust. He came to earth specifically to seek out sinners like him, to bring him to saving faith, to offer him forgiveness, It's the same thing he's done with you and me. And we should rejoice in that. The fact that Christ died for all, and that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, means that God wants to save all people. God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so he extends his loving, gracious call. He wants all to receive the call, accept it in faith. That happens through a proper application of law and gospel. The law bringing a person to see his sins, and then the gospel bringing the person to see his Savior from sin. Now, the Bible does tell us that if we are dealing with a person who just steadfastly refuses to hear the word and mocks it every time we bring it, then we should stop setting before him our pearls, the precious treasures. That person is identified as being a spiritual dog, spiritual swine by the Lord Jesus. But that still does not mean that there is no more hope for such a person. And our prayer should be that in the future he will want to hear the word, so that those who are currently lost may return to the Lord. Those who may have committed grievous sins like Zacchaeus may, like Zacchaeus, be brought to true repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. And then, of course, also bring forth fruits meet for repentance. May God grant this to all of us for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. Let us rise to pray. God, our God, by whose Spirit all things are ordered in thy kingdom, so that if anything is done, is thou that hast done it. If anything is given, is thou who hast given it. Or if anything is withheld, it is thou who hast withheld it. Mercifully hear our prayer and pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us, that we may draw nigh unto thee in the true beauty of holiness. Grant through thy Spirit that thy word may come unto thy church, that thy people may hear it from true and faithful teachers with the ears of faith, and turning to thee in the fullness of love and trust, may know thy will, repent of their transgressions and iniquities, and amend their ways by obedience to thy commandments. And to this end, O Lord, help us to find men in the congregations of our conference, in whose hearts thou hast placed the desire for the pastoral office which thou hast ordained, that in the years to come our congregations may flourish by thy grace under their guidance and leadership to the glory of thy holy name. According to thy good pleasure, grant Pastor Leitz the strength to continue doing the work that thou hast given him, to the glory of thy name and for the benefit of the souls committed to his care. Give by thy Holy Spirit, through the power of thy word, all such diverse spiritual gifts as are necessary to the witness and work of thy church, so that there may ever be in great abundance the gifts of grace which are needed to lead others to the way of salvation through faith in their Savior Jesus Christ. May the light of thy holy gospel go forth into all the world, and may people of every nation, kindred, and tribe learn of thy glory and be grafted into Jesus, the true vine, and become living stones in his holy temple. We also pray for our brethren in Nigeria and Russia. Look upon them with thy great mercy. Hear their cry. Grant them needed aid and comfort their hearts. Let the healing powers of thy love come to them, so that they may turn to thee in praise and thanksgiving and bless thy holy name into all eternity. These and all other prayers hear, O Lord, and grant for the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whom are hid all the treasures of heaven, and in whose name we furthermore pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Lord God, who declarest thine almighty power in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant unto us such a measure of thy grace, that we poor, lost, and condemned sinners may obtain thy gracious promises by faith, and be made partakers of thy heavenly treasures as living stones in thy holy temple, and as branches of the true vine, even Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 4 of hymn 392.